turning your camera off and settling. It's really a gift to pause and practice in this way, and to take care in the setting up of the body. So sometimes the paradox of practice or sitting is that we come into stillness through a little bit of movement. So at the beginning of sitting, sometimes it's nice to actually let the body wiggle a little, to maybe sway side to side or forward and back as you're finding that point of balance and ease in the body. This little bit of movement sometimes helps remind us that we have a body and helps us land or inhabit the body more fully. And so letting the body come into a more natural stillness, not a forced stillness that's rigid or frozen, but a very soft, relative stillness that's guided by the intuition of the body. And as you begin to land in the body in this way, you might refine this settling process by gently sweeping your awareness through the body from the crown of the head, working your way downwards. And it's like you're letting your awareness wash over and through the body, just as you might let the experience around you and in this moment wash over and through you. So it's an opportunity to settle into what's here, what's here in the body. And you might pause in those places that can accumulate tension or tightness. The eyes, and the jaw, letting each of these places in turn relax or release to whatever degree is easeful. Again, no forcing. It's letting the body find its own natural settling. Relaxing through shoulders and hands, as softening through the belly. Releasing in the legs and resting more fully into the support beneath you. Arriving into this moment just as it is, letting the body be exactly the way that it is right now. No need for the body to be different. Letting the environment around you be what it is. There might be background sounds in your environment, some of which you might appreciate or find pleasant, some that might feel like an intrusion or might register as unpleasant. You may even, through the microphone, be picking up occasional sounds from the background of my environment where there's some construction next door. So we just let the surroundings be exactly as they are. Letting go of any argument with the moment. Letting go of the struggle we can have in wanting things to be different. And trying on the experience of just resting in to how things are. And to support that, you might keep a wider field of attention, a felt sense of the body as a whole. Or it might feel supportive and skillful to find a more gathered point of focus, like the felt sense of the breath, or one of the touch points, the soles of the feet or the hands. And each time something tugs on your attention, a thought or an emotion or a sound, you might explore what it's like to let it go, to see if you can let it rest in the background of your awareness. Letting this be an opportunity to choose to focus on something simpler, a felt sense of the body as a whole, or the breath, or a touch point, offering the heart and mind an opportunity to rest, to not get too involved or tangled up. Thoughts or feelings or sensory experience, just for now, to let it be simple. And if you notice that you've gotten tangled up with a thought or an emotion, taking a few moments to notice, how does that feel, especially in the body? Sometimes our bodies offer clues when we've gotten involved in a story in the mind or the heart. I know for me, sometimes there's a tensing somewhere in the body, or almost a leaning forward with the eyes, or sometimes literally a leaning forward with the torso ever so slightly. So just seeing if there's any clues that reveal that involvement. And then making a choice to let it go just for now, to let it fade into the background of your awareness. Not because we're ignoring or not caring about whatever was coming up. Might actually be something worthy of care or attention at some point, but just for now, resting into something simpler, felt sense of body or breath. And noticing what that feels like. Maybe there's a slight softening or relaxing. Maybe the breath is more easeful. So just investigating what's true in your own experience. As you come home to the simplicity of just this moment, breath or body. as we come to the final moments of our practice today, perhaps pausing to just reflect on what, if any, benefit feels like it's arisen in your own heart and mind from this opportunity to pause, to slow down, to simplify, to rest. And to consider how might this benefit that you've received from pausing in this way, how might this inform, how might this be a foundation from which to move outwards and engage with the world, with other people, in a way that might be of broader benefit, perhaps offering a sense of steadiness or presence or care. So that all beings might experience a world that is more nurturing, peaceful, easeful, may all beings in some way know the gift of a steady, open, and compassionate heart and mind. May it be so. So sweet to see each of you. I don't know if you have speaker view or gallery view on. If you have gallery view, you might just take a moment to actually savor the sweetness of all of us gathered together. It just makes my heart happy. I feel like this is such an opportunity to gather with friends each week, you know, friends who really value this path of cultivating the heart and mind to be a more steady, loving presence in the world. So I'm so glad that you're each here today. It feels sweet to see you and to share this time. So just a few reflections. We began this journey with a list of heart qualities called the paramis. That's a Pali word that is often translated the 10 perfections. And I was, perfection, we can get tangled up with that word. So I just wanted to share a sweet quote from Parker Palmer, and he says, "Wholeness does not mean perfection. It means embracing brokenness as an integral part of life." And so this word perfection, in this case is really more about inclining towards wholeness, the wholeness of our own hearts. And we get to start right where we are in our imperfections. That's why it's a cultivation. It's not that somehow we've already achieved or perfected these states, but it's an opportunity to welcome them in more fully, more intentionally. And it, one way of holding these qualities is that it's a way of exploring the question of, what kind of life do I want to live? Who do I want to be in the world? You know, what's of value? And they're really, they represent a journey. So it's a journey where it's like, oh, as we're walking along this path, it's like we pick up each of these 10 friends to travel with us along this path, and they inform one another and they build on one another. And so we began last time with generosity. It really is the foundation of this house of goodness that we're building, or this path that we're walking, and that idea of opening, you know, the hand, opening the heart to give. But also in that giving, there's the opportunity of receiving. And so we begin this list in a relational way, and the list continues relationally. And I want to talk about the next two together. One we've already talked about quite a bit. It's virtuous behavior or ethical conduct, that Pali word sila, is some of you may know, S-I-L-A. This was really those five precepts that we talked about: not killing, not stealing, not engaging in sexual misconduct, not lying, not engaging in unmindful consumption. So we took a deep dive into this, but it's really rich to see, like, oh, something we've already explored appears here in this list of wholesome qualities of the heart. So we start with generosity, and then we come home to, how do we act in the world? How do we behave? And this, too, is a relational practice. You know, these are really qualities about being out in the world. It's not about closing our eyes and just sitting on a chair or a cushion and looking internally. You know, these first two practices are all about how we are in the world. And on this list, one of the things that always stands out to me is like, well, why? Why be generous? Or why engage in this virtuous behavior? And one of the things that I find true in daily life, and then being on retreat where we, you know, I have this chance to simplify, it becomes even clearer. It's like, oh, it does feel good. That's true. And it's just less stressful. It's less stressful to be non-harming. You know, if this whole journey of cultivating the heart and mind is about our well-being, it's so much more easeful to not have to carry around the burden of having spoken an untruth, of having taken something and wondering if somebody's going to discover it. It's like, oh, this is really, sometimes there's a phrase when we talk about virtuous behavior, the bliss of blamelessness. It's like, oh, if you can go to bed and lie your head on the pillow at night and be like, wow, maybe I didn't save the world today, but I didn't kill anything, I didn't steal, I didn't lie, I didn't engage in unmindful consumption. It's like, wow, there's some goodness in that, that we can rest more deeply. So, and then part of what being on retreat reveals, or when we sit down to practice, for those 30 minutes of stillness and silence is we get to take a deeper dive into the subtle ways that we might harm ourselves or others through the habits of our mind and heart. So there's the outward harming, but then there's also those habits, the habits of judging or comparing or the tendency to want to fix or argue with the world. I don't know if you ever notice these things in your mind. I know when I sit here, it's like, oh yeah, look at that mind go. You know, it's really, and there's stress in that. There's stress. You know, I recently have a dear friend who's doing some fundraising for this tragic flooding that happened in Nicaragua where they used to live and work, and I was, you know, really excited in supporting them before I went into retreat. And I found my whole first day of retreat, I had looked at the list of like everybody I had sent the appeal to, you know, the GoFundMe page, and I found myself like going, well, they could have given more, or they could have, and it was like judging mine, and I just had to like laugh at myself at like how stressful, instead of being like, how lovely that they like gave anything at all to this beautiful cause. It was like that habit of mind, you know, it's like, oh, there's one of those places that it was causing harm to me and to the other people in some subtle energetic way. So virtuous behavior has a companion which is more inward looking. So the third quality on this list is renunciation. And renunciation is one of the qualities that sometimes is not fully embraced. People don't get so excited about renunciation a lot of times because it has this feeling of like, oh, what do I have to give up? Makes me think of my upbringing in the Catholic tradition and Lent. It was like, oh, you have to, you know, giving up chocolate or giving up something, you know, for these 40 days. And that sense of renunciation. And I actually have come to love this practice. It's one of my favorites on this list. Because one of the ways of holding it is really around simplification. You know, the unburdening of letting go. And rather than focusing on what do I lose in letting go, to consider what do I gain in creating more space through simplifying. And I really like that in Latin, one of the translations that renunciation points to is to make sacred. Like there's a sacredness in simplicity. It's like what is holy or what is whole, whole, you know, what is whole in the experience of renouncing, and what is it that we might actually be invited to let go of in this. And one way of thinking about it is not so much what we're letting go of out there, but what are we letting go of in here? It's a chance to let go of those habits of mind and heart that are barriers to our wholeness or to our freedom. You know, where do we get hooked? Like in the guided meditation, noticing, oh, when do I get tangled up in thoughts or stories or emotions? And is there an opportunity to see if that can rest in the background? Not to ignore it, but to really unhook from it and to rest in a simpler place with the breath. And then what's really quite remarkable is sometimes some of those things just fade on their own. Did you notice that in the meditation? It's like, well, that was a really juicy story I was involved in, and when I let it just kind of hang out in the background, it just disappeared. I didn't have to do anything. There was more ease. And if something is still hanging around, if we revisit it from that place of more simplicity and stillness, we often can engage with it in a clearer, more skillful, more compassionate way, rather than from a really tangled up, involved way. So it's a real gift, I found, letting go. And that's one of the teachings for me, again, in having this gift of being able to unplug and be on retreat for a week at home, is to remember, oh, it's so much more easeful, restful, it's so deeply nourishing to actually not click and open every single window on my browser, to just open, you know, this window here to be with you, or to just open the window to click and hear teachings for my retreat that I was participating in. It's like, oh, I can just rest into something simpler for a week. And to remember, like, what's important? Oh, the beauty of, you know, being able to rest, of being the gift of waking up in the morning. Like, wow, I'm still alive. And to not take that for granted. Like, what a miracle. Or what a gift that I have this house to sit in, and I'm warm and I'm dry today as it's snowy and cold outside. So there are ways that we practice letting go all the time. And actually the first two in the list are other teachings on letting go. Generosity is a letting go of our time or our attention, sometimes of our actual resources, material resources. You know, virtuous behavior is letting go of harming. So this is not actually such a foreign practice. It's just being named as something that's good for our hearts. So I'll pause there and would love to gift you a chance to visit with each other, if you like, for a few minutes, and then we'll come back together. And you might just consider, you know, do you relate to these? You know, how do you benefit from virtuous behavior or from those moments of letting go and simplifying? How do others benefit? And just see, you know, see what is true. And I'll put you just in two rooms, so hopefully that'll have three or four of you together. I know sometimes folks choose not to join, but so take good care of yourself and enjoy each other's good company, and I'll look forward to seeing you soon.